You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. And happy Take a Deep Breath, All Is Not Lost Wednesday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Anybody else as thrilled as I am about the election results last night? Holy cow. We're going to be talking about this all hour. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your reactions. Did you expect this? Because to be candid, record-breaking turnout, people in line everywhere. And there are a couple of races that I think were lower profile that we're going to talk about this hour that I think indicate Americans are rejecting Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. I want to hear from you. What do you think about all this? Is there a particular, perhaps lower profile election that you focused in on? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. So exciting. So very, very exciting. Let's just jump right in. Let's listen to some of the winners, little snippets of their victory speeches yesterday. And I'm just going to throw this marker down. With one notable exception, and we will certainly talk about that this afternoon, virtually every single candidate that has won election yesterday, especially on the marquee races, were centrist Democrats that focused their message nearly exclusively on economic well-being, right? Yes, there were, and or like voting access, basic things, returning to normal. But again, basically a laser focus from centrist Democrats on the economy. And before we get into these sounds, I just want to say that there's a lot of factors at play, including some of the horrifying images of people getting dragged out of cars, reporting of citizens being detained, and just the lawlessness that is now defining much of federal law enforcement. Bizarre, yet true. At least Customs and Border Patrol. But beyond that, remember what Donald Trump hammered Joe Biden about for 2 years? The economy and prices and inflation. If that is the centerpiece of your campaign, he must have thought that Americans were really stupid. Because if you make that the centerpiece of your campaign, and you not only fail to deliver on it, you take active steps to make things worse, read tariffs, read uncertainty, read mass deportations that constrict a labor market that's already under strain, people are going to recognize that and hold you accountable. And I think Donald Trump has believed for a long time that he can do whatever he wants, hurt whomever he wants, and there is absolutely no consequence to pay. As long as he dresses it all up in enough xenophobia and fear of black and brown folks and fear of women and fear of anybody that's a little different, that in essence, that dividing us, trying to separate working people in this country from one another based on our identity characteristics was going to be enough to shore up his coalition. Yesterday, America answered and they said, no, sir. No, sir. So let's get into it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The one exception to my general observation that these were centrist Democrats with common sense, very clear platforms was, of course, mayor-elect of New York City, Zohran Mamdani. Let's listen to a snippet of his victory speech from last evening. Take a listen.
The sun may have set over our city this evening, but as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity. For as long as we can remember, the working people of New York have been told by the wealthy and the well-connected that power does not belong in their hands. Fingers bruised from lifting boxes on the warehouse floor. Palms calloused from delivery bike handlebars. Knuckles scarred with kitchen burns. These are not hands that have been allowed to hold power. And yet, over the last 12 months, you have dared to reach for something greater. Tonight, against all odds, we have grasped it. The future is in our hands.
It's a fascinating speech, and he was energizing to voters. Do I think that anything remotely socialist could win in a swing state like Wisconsin? No. So you can't translate that message one for one, in my opinion. Love to argue with someone if they think it would work. 855-752-4842. By the way, Eugene V. Debs, a union organizer. He became a socialist while he was locked up in prison. You may remember the Pullman strikes that were broken up by the U.S. military. Grover Cleveland sent the army to break the strike. He was known for, again, being a supporter of union organizing. He became a socialist. And what he ended up being probably most known for, just as a point of historical fact here, is that he denounced American participation in World War I. And he ended up being arrested again. And he was convicted of pretty serious crimes under the Sedition Act of 1918. And he was sentenced to a 10-year term in prison. Warren G. Harding commuted his sentence. Why is that relevant to today? Set aside the socialism. Again, I just don't think those messaging, that communication works in swing states. Upper Midwest, read Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. Nor do I think it plays in Nevada or Georgia. New York City, yeah, I get why that works. But what I think is interesting about the invocation of Eugene V. Debs that perhaps Mom Donnie didn't recognize he was doing at the time was that it also harkens back to a time when the U.S. government criminalized speaking out against U.S. governmental policy. He ended up being locked up because of what he spoke. And that is a message that we all need to be aware of these days. 855-752-4842. Mark and Charles are already in line. Join our conversation. What do you think about these absolutely historic election results from last night? Let's take a listen to Mikey Sherrill. She won the New York governor's seat by nearly 14 points, 14 percentage points. Absolutely incredible. Let's take a listen.
This was a tough fight, and this is a tough state. But I know you, New Jersey. And I love you. I've fought for you. I've spoken with thousands of you over this last year. I know your struggles. I know your hopes. I know your dreams. So serving you is worth any tough fight I have to take on, and I am incredibly honored to be your next governor.
And not New York, New Jersey. You all knew that. I'm just so excited. Big, big win for Mikey Sherrill. And by the way, we did have our very, very special broad appeal guest scheduled for today. She is, due to the MAGA government shutdown that is now eked into its, what are we, shutdown day 36. Her flight got canceled and she's going to be in the air. So we will keep talking about this in the context of these female candidates, both in Virginia's governor's race, the New Jersey governorship, the new mayor of Albany. The complete sweep, it is all women in the city of St. Paul. They got a female mayor, the first female Asian mayor of St. Paul, and their entire legislature for the city of St. Paul is now all women. We're going to talk about that at 4:30. But I mention Mikey Sherrill in context of who we were hoping to have on our show at 4:30, because they are part of this Hellcats group. Hellcats refer to these women back in the World War I times. And there are now these veterans running for office, female veterans. That's who the Hellcats are. We'll talk more about that at 4:30. But let's see if we can squeeze in here. And then I'm going to go to the phones on the other side. Folks, get in your reactions to this historic election, 855-752-4842. Let's listen to a bit of Abigail Spanberger, the governor-elect of the state of Virginia, taking that seat from Republicans. Take a listen here.
I know we're living in a time filled with chaos. We live in a time marked by uncertainty. And along the way, we do our best to try and explain it to our kids. I know the list of challenges that we are facing is long, but I also know that the only way we're going to solve these problems is by tackling them together. Democrats, Republicans, independents, all of us. Because that embodies the message that we sent tonight. That is what being a Commonwealth is all about. Standing united for our future.
Yeah, this theme of doing it together, that elected officials should really be working for everyone, not just the people that voted for them. This idea of, again, really centering what matters to the vast majority of a governor's or an attorney general's constituents. These were the messages that you kept hearing over and over yesterday. Incredibly powerful. Let's take a little bit. Jay Jones, comes from a long line of civil rights activists in Virginia. There was some controversy surrounding his campaign due to what I would call really unthoughtful, bad text messages that he had sent in a private conversation about political violence. He was clearly speaking metaphorically, but in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, didn't land well. That one, the polling was very razor-thin margin. He won by a fairly substantial margin, buoyed by many commentators' accounts by Abigail Spanberger's when he won the attorney general's seat also in Virginia. That is critical with the midterm elections coming up. Let's take a quick listen to Jay Jones's victory speech.
Donald Trump, MAGA, and those corporate special interests believe that Virginia's government should be beholden to them. But tonight we sent a loud message to them and to every single person across this country. Virginia belongs to the people. Together we stand firm against the people who would take us backward. We will use tonight as a springboard to reject the politics of divisiveness and division. And we will build a brighter future for every single Virginian.
It is for every single Virginian, every single New Jerseyan, and every single American to have a president or a governor or an attorney general that works for all of us, regardless of our partisan beliefs. Folks, we're going to take a breath. We're going to come back, talk about this incredible election. We'll take your calls and text next, 855-756.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thank you, sir. It's Winning Wednesday here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. And we are talking about the election results. I couldn't find a single win for Republicans. I was looking. I mean, they won a couple of seats that they were expected to win. I'll talk about one of those in a second. But in all of the toss-ups, close polling, the big they lost all of them, every single last one of them. And I'm just going to throw this out there for further discussion. Then I want to go to the phones. What did you think? What do you make of all of this? 855-752-4842. Can you imagine how or whether, perhaps this is a better question, whether we would be seeing this level of turnout, this level of, no, we don't want what MAGA is selling anymore. If the movement had simply constrained itself a tiny little bit, right? Maybe don't gut the ACA tax credits. Maybe, like, don't slash Medicare. Maybe try to constrain Customs and Border Patrol officer behavior. Maybe actually prioritize folks that are here illegally and are criminals. They just would have, like, reined it in a tiny little bit and not gone full Steve Bannon, flood the zone. Right? It's interesting. That's not what happened, of course. So here we are. Let's go to the phones, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Hey, Mark. It's Winning Wednesday. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. It was interesting last night. Flipping through the channels, I briefly stopped on Channel 47 out of Madison, and they're running the National Desk, which is another right-wing blogosphere, you know, just whatever kind of sphere it is. But the guy there was just about soiling himself because he was so upset about what was happening. That I was especially pleased to see what happened in Virginia with not only, you know, in the higher offices there, but also in the Virginia House of Delegates, where the Democrats regained complete control of the House of Delegates in Virginia. The results in Pennsylvania for their Supreme Court, it was heartening as well. But
won all three seats, liberal majority on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court until at least 2027, yes.
And it is just disturbing, you know, Trump. Well, it's not disturbing, but not just surprising that, you know, Donald Trump is just having a complete meltdown over Mondonimi women and winning in New York. And the fear that these people have over democratic socialism, need I remind these people that some of the great events that happened, the great progress was made in Milwaukee back in the day, was under socialist government. And I pointed out a title that I found in at St. Vinny's, that even in Oklahoma back in the early 20th century, they were experimenting with socialism there because of the inequities that was happening, especially to the farmers in Oklahoma. And that one of our great, you know, writers, you know, Thomas Paine, of course, you know, produced Agrarian Justice, which I've mentioned before, was actually proposing socialist reforms at the dawning of our country, you know, in response to the oligarchy that he saw forming even then with the landed wealth. That's what he was actually proposing, taxes on landed wealth, if I understood what he wrote right.
Yeah, Mark, it's really interesting. I think the reason that the MAGA movement and many on the right seize on the term socialism is that for so many Americans, one, that history isn't known or understood. And if it is known or understood, the word is still scary. So, you know, they use this term to speak in broad strokes to evoke a whole set of feelings, right? Not to speak factually about what that may or may not look like. One of the problems I have with Mamdani, for example, is his assertion that basically, like, we're going to go to a free food system, that bus rides should all be free. That would be great, but it will break New York City's budget. Now, the Trump and the MAGA universe freak out and reaction to the election, it's pretty clear. On Monday, Donald Trump was saying, if Mamdani wins, I'm not giving him any money. This morning, after getting his butt kicked in virtually every single election across this great land, he's like, oh, maybe I'll give him some money. I'll help him out if I decide to. Like, he understood he has lost. I mean, also looking at, what was this text message that he put up somewhere? I'm trying to find, not a text message, the Truthy Social post. Trump wasn't on the ballot. I love it when he talks about himself in the third person. Trump wasn't on the ballot, and shutdown were two reasons that Republicans lost elections tonight. That was at 10:05 last night. The bizarre ungrammatical syntax problems there aside, trying to distance himself from it. No, man, it is your and your movement's shutdown. That was your and your movement's electoral butt kicking yesterday. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It was a clear referendum on Trump policies. I don't think that can be disputed. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I don't want to rush my next caller, Charles. We've also got Kurt from Madison on the line. I'm going to go to you gentlemen on the other side. Ladies, we're going to be moving into our broad appeal segment, which means you will go to the top of the caller lines. Women, I want to hear from you. What did you think about this? You've got two female governors. Women were showing up huge in a bunch of races. I'm going to talk about a few more of those, tell you who the Hellcats are. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What were your reactions to this historic rebuking of Trump and the MAGA movement last night? Do you think it's sticky enough? Do you think it speaks to what might happen in these upper Midwest swing states? What lessons are held in last night's election results for candidates in Wisconsin? Let's talk about it. 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Might not all be in me, but it was definitely all about women candidates yesterday, because why, they have broad appeal. Big congratulations to governors-elect Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey and Abigail Spanberger in Virginia. I'm joined by my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, for this next half hour, and each and every one of you. Welcome, Jamie. Big wins yesterday.
It was. It was a great night. You know what's really fun is I had this big, long text chain on my phone. I have friends who live in the Virginia area. And we met many, many moons ago when we were all working in Washington, D.C. in our respective legislative offices. All of us have obviously moved on from that world into different realms of the world and doing all different things. But a lot of these friends still live in Virginia. And we are talking some tried and true GOPers back to the McCain days. And this text chain went until about 3 a.m. Because there was a party, because these tried and true GOP peers, former GOPers, they were huge canvassers, volunteers, organizers for Abigail Spanberger. And so the party, I hope none of them had to work today, because I had to go to bed eventually. But that text chain this morning when I got up was a lot of fun. And apparently the party went for a very long time, even though the election was called really early in the evening, because that was a wild text chain to read as the drinks kept flowing throughout the night.
Well, and that speaks to my underlying point for what I'm going to call good faith conservatives or even independents. Can you see now that the fundamental underpinnings and policy objectives of your party have been completely abrogated and abandoned by the MAGA movement? You no longer have any place in that movement. And if there was any question about it, Donald Trump's lawlessness, retributionary policies, nonsense economic policies, his frankly shirking his duties as the world's, as the leader of the world's democracy, as the leader of NATO, all of that, none of that lines up with conservatism anymore. And conservatives had such an opportunity with Trump 2.0, right? And both houses of Congress. And it's, if I was a dyed-in-the-wool, good faith conservative, I would be just as angry, because the things that could have been accomplished responsibly have now been sacrificed. And now in this mandate, right, in this landslide win, and I'm going to talk about some of those proportions in a minute, that has been washed away and flushed. Right. And now, it's putting, Democrats aren't on their heels anymore. That is gone. We now have a mandate and a mandate to continue to press this administration. So the impact, the import of Republicans after November 24, winning both houses of Congress, you're now handcuffed. That's why Donald Trump, like he tacos about everything else, flippity-floppity flip-flopped this morning on whether or not, you know, New York City will continue to receive federal grants and emergency aid money. Because this was a landslide.
And what I thought was interesting is when you look at the exit polls, whether you love to look at the polls or not, it is interesting, especially after the vote has already been cast. According to a majority of the exit polls, affordability and economy were the biggest factors when voters went into the booth yesterday. And it turns out that back in 1992, when James Carville said it's the economy, stupid when he was running Bill Clinton's campaign, it still kind of holds true in 2025, right? And, you know, it was interesting today listening to Mike Johnson and Tom Emmer on the steps of the Capitol give their comments after the election. Tom Emmer called this a pro-terrorism Marxist radicals, now the left's mainstream. Now, I'm not sure I would call Abigail Spanberger, a former intelligence officer, or Mikey Sherrill, a former Navy pilot, pro-terrorist centrist. And radicals.
Can I just say that, what an ass. Like, you content.
Yes.
You all complain for weeks and weeks about this incendiary rhetoric, and you trot that out after voters deliver a mandate to Democrats, to centrist Democrats, right?
Yes.
And again, I just put a box around New York City. That's not
sure.
I mean, New York is one of one.
Yes.
But what was translatable and what you saw in each and every one of these elections,
yes,
was again the excitement, the engagement. Again, the rebuking of Donald Trump and
younger
and basically,
candidates.
Yes, younger candidates, younger voters, people standing in line.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones, Jamie, and then I want to get into this discussion about the Hellcats. Folks, join Jamie and I. We are doing the election redux right now. You're welcome to share your thoughts, reactions. 855. Wait a minute. I'm doing this wrong. Why do I blank on the phone number every once in a while?
Because there's so much exciting stuff happening.
I'm just so excited. I'm flummoxed. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Charles has been very patient. Charles, say hello to Jamie. What are your thoughts after what I'm going to call Winning Wednesday, the landslide that says no, sir, to Trump?
Hello, Maggie and Jamie. Oh, it was a glorious beatdown. My wife and I sat there and was watching when we were watching the results, and I'm like, wow. And these people didn't just win. I mean, they were landslides. They weren't even close outside of the maybe the attorney general in Virginia, Jay Jones. Outside of that, the other races were just a beatdown. And to think that over 5 million people stood in line and voted to say, yes, we would like to fix our maps to counter the crookedness of the Republican Party. They don't even try to hide the crookedness anymore.
Yeah, and just a thought on that. To me, the butt kicking of MAGA in the California Prop 50 vote is extraordinarily notable.
Yeah.
Because for voters, like words like gerrymandering, redistricting, that it was in response to what was going on in Texas, that Newsom put together this campaign in less than 90 days, that the ballot measure itself had a time limitation on this particular redistricting. In other words, it will expire at the next census, that it would only take effect if other states do. This was an incredibly complicated ballot measure. It was a 90-day campaign, and it was an overwhelming margin, 64% to 36. That's getting to the point where my math is being challenged. I mean, those are huge margins.
When Orange County, which is traditionally red, purple, whatever you want to call it, traditionally red because of the income that flows into Orange County, also votes for the same proposition, you know that maybe a line has been drawn in the cement. I'm not even going to say sand because it wasn't even blurry last night. It was
a
cement.
That's a 28% margin, and Latinos showed up in huge numbers, more than they did in November 2024 in the California Prop 50 vote. Thank you so much, Charles. Let's keep this rolling. Kurt from Madison, then we got Cindy coming up and Jeannie. Kurt, what you got for us? Say hello to Jamie.
Hello, Jamie. Say, I have an idea that would make the Republicans' heads literally explode. And that is, we start teaching kids in grade school to start listing things that socialism provides. And I'll just give a short, brief example. Sewer, water, police, fire department. And this is my favorite one, Maggie. representation if you're in court of law and you can't afford a lawyer.
Right.
So, I mean, start hammering down what socialism is, other than the lies that have been shoved down the throats of the right for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so incredibly important, Kurt. I say to people all the time, define socialism for me when I hear these kinds of critiques. There is no pure capitalistic economy on the planet. It doesn't exist. So everything that we're talking about when it comes to economic policy is on a spectrum. And the question always should be, what is the outcome that we seek? A vibrant, growing middle class, increasing real wages, increasing wealth for the middle class. And then are we seeing policies that are generating those outcomes? And Kurt, I think you can fairly see, and Jim from Appleton is pointing this out as well, in the wake of, I'm going to go back to Buckley v. Vallejo in 1976, which was the first instance of the Supreme Court basically indicating that you're not really going to be able to regulate money in politics, that since then, there is daylight between Democrats and Republicans. And certainly, I think Democrats overarchingly are a much more pro-working people, pro-small business, pro-middle-class party, but that some of the daylight between them lost its salience for voters. And by this, I mean Democrats forgot the fundamental message, which we are a party of labor and middle class and small business owners, and we will never lose sight of that. And that, I think, got lost. Plus, if you look at some of the policies from either Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, there's a little bit of a corporatist lean. Again, I track that back to the Supreme Court's failure to acknowledge that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people. And that got worse after Citizens United. But I think that's an incredibly well-taken point, Kurt. What are you actually talking about? Do you like your garbage getting picked up? Do you like your clean water? How about that clean air that you're breathing? Do you like, again, I say all the time, regulations for regular people. Those things, anybody can make an argument, are, quote, socialist. A standing military can be argued that that is socialist, right? So this concept that we're either capitalists or we're socialists is a stupid frame, because those are extremes that when you have seen either of those extremes pursued in any country, you see chaos. Meaning extreme socialism combined with communism, that fails, that is oppressive. Extraordinarily unmitigated capitalism with zero regulation, where the wealthy are the only ones that profit off of the work of the vast majority of us, that ends up creating chaos too. That's Donald Trump, right? That is what serves Trump, is what's going to be the policies, what serves his billionaire backers. That will be his policy objectives. That was Trump. Welfare for the wealthy 1.0 in his first administration, and that's the big brutal bill. Thank you so much, Kurt. I'm going to take a breath, let somebody else step in here, but that one really got me going. Cindy from Appleton, say hello to Jamie. What you got for us?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, you were talking about how we women are feeling about all the women that get elected, and I think it's great, but I have to say with caution that I do not think in the Midwest and Wisconsin they have quite turned against Trump yet. So we Democrats still have a lot of work cut out for us.
Yes.
And I think we have some great candidates for governor, Sarah Rodriguez, Jessica Hong, and Kelda Royce. But I did hear all of them the other night, and I'll tell you, I'm very impressed with David Crowley.
Yes.
Yes.
I couldn't agree with that assessment more. Jamie, you wanted to react to Cindy's comments. Thank you, Cindy.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, to what Cindy was saying, you're right. We are going to have to do a lot of work. There is a huge pool of Democratic candidates right now, 362 days until the midterms, and this is the time to start figuring out how you're going to volunteer, I think.
Yes, get involved. There is a movement. This was a mandate to Democrats, but the real battles will show up at the midterms and in the upper Midwest, of course, in 2028. Who are the right leaders to bring the Democratic Party into this new era of politics? Your thoughts and more discussion on the other side. Did you know that every single county in Virginia, including the ones that voted for the MAGA gubernatorial candidate, moved at least 6 points left Yeah, folks, that's a mandate. That's a landslide. We discuss more on the other side. Join us. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-48.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Radio Network. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. There she is. Hopefully everything is working. We have those tech issues every now and then. Can you hear us? Are you all good, Maggie?
I sure can. Thanks for being here with me.
Yay. Yes. There we go.
It all sorts out. Folks, we are talking election and more election, and I love all of the feedback. A number of you have pointed out that maybe this is just reaction to Trump, right? I don't think you can tease out one causal factor here. I think it's a repudiation or a rejection of much of Donald Trump's gross overreach, right? I think that's part of it. I do think that the centrist sort of candidates that you see most notably in Mikey Sherrill and Abigail Spanberger in New Jersey and Virginia, respectively, was something that folks felt like, yeah, normal might be good. But I don't think it's any one of those things. And again, I think coastal politics, whether you're talking California Prop 50 or what happened in New Jersey, New York City, or Virginia, are not what those things do not translate one to one here in the Middle West. They just don't. So I think we have to be thinking very carefully about what are the lessons learned from the elections, from this election cycle, this mandate, this landslide. But what does that look like in the upper Midwest, in the swing states, in Georgia, in New Mexico, in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan? And how do we select candidates that in the same way that Mayor-elect Mondani, Governors-elect Spanberger and Sherrill energized voters? I think there is something incredibly genuine about each one of those candidates, Jamie, and others that I think pushed forward beyond whether they're a socialist Democrat or a Democratic socialist or a centrist or whatever that was. They're saying, we have a vision. Here's what our vision is. Yes. And you can trust what I'm saying. I'm not a huckster. These were very genuine people. Again, you mentioned Abigail Spanberger, former CIA officer, and Mikey Sherrill's a former naval officer and federal prosecutor. Like, these are people that have done real things. And I think we've got a number of gubernatorial candidates here in Wisconsin that have done real things.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I know that the Democrats over the course of the last few months have had some issues on the messaging. I get that. It hasn't always been consistent. You've had the more progressive wing of the party versus the more centrist wing of the party. But is that maybe the key? That's what I kept thinking about last night. Maybe you're talking about the same issues and how they relate to your constituency and your electorate, even though you might have very different ideals. Now, I know that makes it a little bit more complicated for a presidential candidate down the road. But at the same time, you know, if you're thinking about winning these state races, these local races, talk to the people that are actually going to vote for you and talk to them in a way that makes sense. And I think that's one of the things that I have been most excited about as I've watched the candidates, even here in Wisconsin, come out. And you just touched on it. These are real people who are actually doing real things. We don't have these legacy politicians right now running for office. And I think that's what people want to see change. Because we've got a couple, but they haven't been in office for 25 years, right?
Yes.
Let's be realistic. And I think that's where the disconnect starts to come is, you know, I think sometimes people feel like when somebody's been in office for that long, you kind of forget where your roots are, maybe, if that's the right way to put it. And I feel like maybe that's what's exciting people and energizing them about this particular crop of candidates that we're starting to see not only here in Wisconsin, but across the country.
Yeah, I will always be all for term limits. Jeannie from Eau Claire, say hello to Jamie. What you got for us?
Hi, Jamie. Hallelujah, that's what I can say.
Yes.
And then also these very strong, intelligent, and also security-related people that know what the devil's going on in our country, what needs to be done in their states. They're active. I've watched these women. They are outstanding, and we need more of that. We need intelligence. We need background. We need to know what they're going to do. We want to know what kind of people they're going to put in office, take a look at what Trump stuck us with. And, you know, and women are leaders. And I hope we get a lot of those. So thanks a lot for this great show. And you guys have a great evening. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Jeannie's one of the nicest callers.
She is.
She's always very sweet.
She doesn't yell at us. She enjoys talking to us. It's good stuff.
I will say this. I think there is, again, what you saw in Prop 50 as led by Gavin Newsom in California, the New Jersey gubernatorial race, the Virginia gubernatorial race, and Zohran Mamdani in New York City was a straddling of critique of the most egregious overreach by Trump, but also at the same time an affirmative vision of what do we want to accomplish. There was a great caller yesterday that said, what's the vision for the economic policy, right? Mm-hmm. And basic things like we can calculate what a minimum wage actually is. Why isn't that the minimum wage? If people are at or below the poverty level and we know that they can't live with $25,000, if that's what they're earning in their multiple jobs, because we still have a minimum wage that was set in like the early 2000s of 7.25, then why are we taxing people's income at those poverty level wages? That doesn't make sense, right? Why we tax the dollar earned from work at a higher rate than we tax the dollar earned from wealth. And oh, by the way, we don't actually tax any of the wealth gains unless you sell the asset. So people get away with passing tens of millions in wealth from generation to generation, and we never collect a penny off of it. The affirmative vision, the critique of Trump's most egregious overreaches from an authentic messenger, that's what's winning. We got a mandate, folks. Bailey from Stevens Point is up next. Then Troy from Mount Horeb, join us, 855-752-4842. Bailey, stay there. Troy, stay there. We got to take care of some messages. We're going to continue to celebrate this big win. It has been a bit of a dark night, and we have just seen a light of hope. Stay with us. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.